The Psalm 126, reading at verses 2 and 3. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. 3 Lord's days ago, this church met for special prayer and fasting and intercession in regard to the EEC election. We were very aware that this was not a mere political conflict, a mere battle of party ideologies and philosophies, but this election had to do with great spiritual issues. And of course, the common market is part and development of latter-day prophecies, and is, as we saw, in 4 biblical-based and prophetic interpretive messages, the development of the final kingdoms of the beast. And so we were aware that this was a great spiritual conflict, that behind the political personalities, that behind the political ideologies that were struggling for supremacy, there was a great battle of God's truth against the devil's lie, of heaven's honesty against hell's falsehood, of the battle of Christ against the Antichrist, and the battle of the true church, which is the body of Christ and the bride of Christ, against the false church headed up in the system of Roman Catholicism, the Scarlet Church of Revelation chapter 17. We prayed to that end, and what happened? The Lord filled our mouth with laughter on Monday when I walked into the cart and I saw the packages of 1,000 votes mounting up, and up, and up, and up, and up again. And when I saw my 2 opponents in the official Unionist Party, who had did everything to discredit this preacher, to attack his honesty, to attack his integrity, to attack the church that he ministered to, and the gospel that he preached, I saw both of their votes together left sadly behind. And at the end of the day, I was more than 100,000 votes in front of either of them. And that, my friend, is a modern miracle. Only God can do that. That's not done by a party machine. That's not done by shrewd political cunning. That is not achieved by some clever political dodge. That is the work of God. Only God can do these things. And in areas where these men, for years, had complete and total control, to defeat them 2-1 in County Fermanagh alone is a miracle that only God can do. So I want to speak this morning, and I want to give thanks to the Lord. Of course, these opponents hate the Lord. But you see the official Unionists sitting and smiling and laughing and jeering when we sang the doxology. When you see them joined with Patty Devlin to put their hands over their ears, or with Bernadette Devlin to lie lounging almost on the floor, you realize that they all hate the Lord. hit His truth and hit His precious Word. But I want to say from this pulpit this morning, I am totally and absolutely and altogether and praise God eternally committed to this book. And I will fly my flag of testimony just as brightly in Strasbourg as I flew it from this pulpit. There will be no compromise, and thank God there will be no surrender. God is in the midst of His people. God gave me a promise. I give it to this church, as thou hast witnessed to the Lord in this city, so shalt thou bear witness at Rome also. And the dirty old devil came to me and said, don't you tell anybody about that text, because if you don't win, then the Lord will be let down. But I said to the devil, if I can trust my soul for heaven on a text of God's Word, I can trust my political career for Strasbourg on a text of God's Word. And God more than fulfilled His Word to me. And so it was with great joy that I was able on international television to go on record that we give all the praise and all the thanks and all the glory to the Lord. And any power, political power, that I may have this day, I intend to invest it for God's truth, for God's cause, and for God's righteousness. And I'm glad I have the opportunity today to denounce those Sabbath breakers who, for the gaining of a quick pound, are opening their shops on the Lord's day in order to beat the race against the increase in that. May the Lord blow upon them. And I'm glad that one of the heads of the Chamber of Commerce was with me in that protest. And I trust that that protest will tell for our Lord and His day. Having said that by way of preface, could we come now to look at this great text of God's Word? You'll find five things about the great things that the Lord has done. Notice, first of all, their origin. It's the Lord that did it. Man is put out of the arena. The Lord takes the supreme place. Their origin is divine. It is the Lord that did it. It's a work of the Lord. Then notice their omnipotence. They are great things. Only a great God can do great things. In the very heart of these things is the omnipotence of the Lord. It is omnipotence that does great things. Thirdly, notice their operation. It doesn't say the Lord has done great things against us. No, the great things of God don't operate against the people of God, but they operate for and on behalf of the people of God. Isn't it a great thing to know that God's omnipotence this morning is operating for and on behalf of God's people? The Lord is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Then you will notice the observance of the great thing. The unbelievers saw what God was doing for His people. The hearers of God's people saw what God was doing. And the very heathen said, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath. Very interested to read what Barry White said. I always called him Barry Black because he was out to blacken those that stood for Protestantism. But he said in his column, without a doubt, Ian Paisley was the Protestant leader and nobody could deny it now. Whether we liked it or not, It seemed to me a most interesting statement for a man who has done nothing but blacken this preacher's stand for many, many years. The heathen have observed. Even man. One man said to me, I hate your politics. But they said, no one can gainsay what has happened. I was at the Bellarmina show this week, and when I walked into the showgrounds, the first man I saw was one of my greatest political opponents, Dr. Simpson of Ahuco. Dr. Simpson was Terence O'Neill's buddy. In fact, when I fought, Dr. Simpson, as the local coroner, said that he would be delighted to preside over my lost deposit. Well, I didn't lose my deposit. Terence O'Neill almost lost his seat. And that man who has been my political opponent for years walked over to me in the show at Bellarmina this week, and he said, honor to whom honor is due. I must congratulate you on what can only to be said to be an astounding victory. Of course, the very heathen see when the Lord blesses his people. The heathen observe it, the observance of the great thing. And then let's look lastly at the outcome of these great things. Whereof we are glad. God has called his people to gladness. Now very briefly, let me expound the five of them. The origin, the law. If you go home and read these Psalms, you will find they are characterized by the repetition of Jehovah. If you have an authorized version, but I wouldn't advise you to read any other version of the Scriptures, you will notice that the Lord is spelt in small capitals. That means that in the original Hebrew, it is Jehovah. Jehovah, the covenant God of Israel. The unchangeable, immutable I am. I am that I am. God is not the I was, and God is not the I will be, although he ever was and ever will be. But God is a great I am. With God there is no past. With God there is no future. With God there is one great everlasting now. And God is the I am. And the origin of all these great things is the Lord himself. This brings us to the great truth of God's absolute sovereignty, that he is supreme, that he rules in the heavens. He utters his voice, and the earth melteth. And to our God, these things are very minor things indeed. To us, they are the turning of the tide. To us, they are making possible the impossible. To us, they are the solving of insoluble problems. But to God they are as nothing. He taketh up the isles as a little thing, and the nations of this earth are a mere drop in the bucket, and the inhabitants are only grasshoppers. It is delightful to take our position with the Lord, to look down upon the schemings and schemes of men, and to know that they're mere grasshoppers in his sight. And the Lord originates and orders and controls and plans and purposes all things. Romans chapter 8 and 28, all things work together for good. All things are workers. There's no loafers among them. And they're all working. What are they working for? They're working together. They're dovetailed together. They're planned to fit. You say, preacher, that sad bereavement I passed through, that terrible sickness that I had to endure, that bitter, dark disappointment that came upon me. Did God plan it? Yes, sir. Did God order it? Yes, sir. And it's working together for good. It's dovetailing into the overruling purpose of the overruling God. So that at the end of the day, with old Samuel Rutherford, the covenanter, you and I will sing, I'll bless the hand that guided. I'll bless the heart that planned. When throne where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. That's the origin of it. Then let's look at the omnipotence of it. There are great things that the Lord has done. I was thinking today of the great things of God. Did you ever notice that when the creation story was told, you read about the stars also. Just three words, and yet God made the galaxy of the heavens. Stars always interest me. And when I stand on a dark night and see the stars away out there on the Milky Way, millions of them, God took his hand of omnipotence and threw them out into the sky, millions of stars. And God directed them in their ways, and not one goes out of its course or deviates from its divinely plotted and charted course. He who made the stars, will he not preserve his people? He who controls the great galaxies of the heavens, will he not guide my little boat safely from the reefs of time and the reefs of this earth to the desired haven? Certainly he will. We are worth more than stars. What about the sparrow? A little bird, man, with all his ingenuity, couldn't make a sparrow. But God made many of them because he loves them. And he says, not one little sparrow out of the millions and billions and trillions of sparrows in the world falls to the ground, but it is registered in the omnipotent mind of the omnipotent God. Are ye not much better than many sparrows? Let me tell you today, those are some of the great things of God. But when I go to a hill crag called Calvary, when I stand under the shadow of an old cross of shame, when I view the bleeding, battered, broken body of God's blessed Son, hanging in agony upon the cross for a poor sinner like me, then I see the greatest thing God ever did. When omnipotence was exhausted, and God's love reached its zenith, and God's power reached the utmost top of the Everest of its operation. And a cross of shame when Jesus saved my soul. Hallelujah. Then can I say from the depths of my heart, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And if this body in which I stand today falls to dust at the touch of the King of Terrors and the Terror of Kings, yet one day God will remake it, and those that are alive and remain shall be changed. The whole saints of all ages, from Abel onward, shall unite together, and will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Then shall we not say the Lord has done great things? In the heart of every great thing that God has done lies the seal, the seed of almighty omnipotence. Then there's the operation of the all things. Look at it. The Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us. For us. If our religion is not a practical thing, then it's useless. If it doesn't help me in the trivia of life, it will not help me in the great extremities. I want to tell you, God's interested dear in you, and he's working for you when you do the common round and the menial task at home. When you stand and wash
up the dishes at the sink. God is for you, dear woman. And the sweat that falls from your brow, mother, as you do your chores at home, is just as sacred as the sweat that falls from my brow in the eyes of God when I preach the everlasting gospel of His everlasting Son. God is for us. That's a great truth, isn't it? John Wesley lay dying. His preachers stood around him. And the last word of that great apostolic man was this: best of all, God is for us. God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? I'm not afraid of the Pope today. I said to a man the other day, I'm a better pole than the Pope, for I'm at the head of the pole. Yes. Let me tell you this morning, I'm not afraid of enemies. Why, of God before you. Let us lay aside all fear today. I will not be afraid, said the psalmist. What man will do upon me? May God give us complete deliverance from fear. God's great things are operating for us. You know, there is a blessed truth in God's word which the Christians of our day have forgotten. It's the providence of God. Isn't it providential how God works? I was a student in the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Hall in this city. And when I was coming to my final year of study, I wondered where God would have me be a preacher. There was a cattle dealer by the name of William Hill. He was in the town of Ballyclare selling beasts. And he said to another cattle dealer, he said, our little church on the Ravenhill Road is looking for a preacher. And this other cattle dealer said to him, I have got the preacher for you. He said, who is he? He said, he's a young fellow called Ian Paisley. And he said, he's a good preacher and might have the makings of being a really good preacher. You should hear him. So Willie Hill, who was an elder in our church, he got in touch with me and he said, would you come and preach? I said I would. And I came and preached down the road, in the little church down the road. And I fell in love with the people and they fell in love with me. I was a very foolish young preacher. I said if I didn't get a unanimous call, I wouldn't go. I wouldn't do that today, for the devil would surely have someone not wanting you to go. But I got a unanimous call, and I came. And I've been on this road ever since, and it all happened because two cattle dealers in Ballyclare Fair talked about God's work. How God works. He moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps on the sea and rides upon the storm. And when I came to this road, I didn't know what was ahead of me. If I had have known about two times in jail, about the scorn and the fights and the bitterness I would have had to stood, I would have run away. But God kindly veils the future from our eyes in order that we might take a step at a time and walk by faith and not by sight. Operation is done of the great things for us. God is for us. Hallelujah! God is for us. That's why this church is here. God is for us. That's why we've got the victory. God is for us. That's why the devil's crowd have a cold shiver up their spine this morning. God is for us. That's why. Then look at the observance of it. The heathen said, the Lord had done great things. I was reading an article about money the other day, and this man was saying that the old apostate churches were in trouble in raising money. But he said the Free Presbyterians seemed to have plenty of cash. Well, I really laughed at that. I said, that's good. Even the heathen observe what God does for His people. How God has sent us the very money that's needed to do His work. How God has supplied the temporal needs of His people. Even the very heathen observe it. The heathen said, the Lord hath done great things for us.
Aren't you glad God's not finished with us? The best has yet to be.
The former foreign secretary, Dr. Owen, met me in the Commons, and he said, Ian, heartiest congratulations. He says, I don't know what parliament you're going to sit in next. You seem to sit in every one you fight for. Let me say this. The very heathen know when God is with his people. If I have proved God in the past, should that not encourage me to prove him in the future? What I want to see in my province in this land is not only a political awareness, which I believe we have attained. I want to see a real spiritual awareness. Oh, that God might turn the captivity of Zion. Oh, that God might breathe again upon our beloved Ulster. Oh, that God might send us another great 1859 revival. That over the hills and the valleys of Ulster, there may be the sound of abundance of rain. Let me say, I believe it's coming. One short word about the outcome of it all. Whereof we are glad. Gladness in the heart of this people. Joy in the souls of this people. Real rejoicing upon the lips of this people. Take down the heart, my brother, today. Tune up those strings. And let us today ring forth songs of melody and praise to him who hath called us out of darkness into his most marvelous light. A singing Christian is a victorious Christian. A singing Christian is a Christian enjoying the experience of the new birth. For he took me from the fearful pit and from the miry clay, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God.